This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, your Q, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Here is Shannon Sebastian with your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of your Q. As it says, I'm Shannon Sebastian, your host for today, and this is where, on the Q, where our goal is to celebrate, uplift, and educate the community on great things happening in and around Douglas County. And we are very grateful to be doing this today. Last week I did an update on one of the guests that we had on, and I kind of wanted to do another one because people kind of like that, and it's nice to hear a little follow-up, about when somebody's on. So recently we had Nick Garcia, which is the head coach of the Douglas High School football team, on, and he reached out to me about a week ago and just kind of wanted to give me an update on their situation. So when Nick was on, he was talking about his football team going out and, doing odd jobs for people to raise money for their equipment and gear, safety equipment, and things like that. And so he reached out and said they had been very busy since being on the show and working very hard in and around Douglas County, and that they had earned over $5,000 in donations for their work towards new equipment and safety gear. And so I just think that is amazing news. I think what he's doing out there is wonderful. But he also said this is about half of their full year's goal. So they're going to be taking a break around spring break time and then start back up in the summer. So there are still months to do that. And they're also looking for sponsors for, just for the team and to help out if people are interested. And you could get a banner at their football games or season tickets. And so if you're interested in having the team come out and doing some sweat equity for you, please feel free. Here's Nick's number at 541-643-0415, or you can email him at garcia22nick@gmail.com. again, that's Garcia, G-A-R-C-I-A 22 nick@gmail.com. so good job to all the teammates and to everybody that's helped out with that. And just wanted to kind of give everybody an update, because I think when you put it out in the universe that you're willing to put in some sweat equity and some hard work and not just asking for a handout but for help up, that those prayers get answered. So anyway, really excited about that. Today, for our community service section here today, we have Julie Hurley with Douglas ESD and Heather Freilinger, also with Douglas ESD, but with her department is Care Connections and Education. So welcome, ladies. Wonderful to have you here.
It's great to be here.
And much in need, your services that you guys have to talk about. So, Julie, I'm going to start with you, and if you wouldn't mind telling me, like, what your position is at the ESD, and kind of kick us off here, if you would.
Sure. I am a program coordinator at the Douglas ESD and a part of the administrator team, and I run a couple of programs, but the one we're talking about here today is the Douglas County Child Care Coalition, and it's an initiative and a subset of a larger program called Business Champions for Kids. And we work with local business leaders and owners and organizations to really support our youngest community members, those 0 to 5, and how they can support their growth and progress.
And there is such a huge need for that right now. And I know you're going to give us that information. And so, Heather, if I can ask you the same thing, tell us what your position is and what you do.
Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. I am the program coordinator also at the Douglas ESD, and we're a child care resource and referral agency, but locally we're known as Care Connections and Education. We serve Douglas County, Klamath, and Lake as well. So what our program does is that we are a state agency that is tasked with recruiting new family child care providers, early learning professionals, and programs. We provide initial training to become a licensed program or to become listed with Oregon Department of Human Services, so that families that are receiving subsidies and support can be listed as a provider that can provide care for that. We help navigate a lot of early learning systems. We have a lot of them in Oregon, and so we're there to support anyone who is looking into this world. We provide training and technical assistance for early educators. And we also connect to Umpqua Community College. There's some great stuff going on right there for early education. And we're excited to have somebody on our staff that really can support those entering into college coursework.
Well, that I know when we were talking just a little bit before the show that I might have had the preconceived notion that this was kind of an issue that, you know, came on with COVID and with the pandemic. But that's not true. Tell me about that, because I was kind of surprised what your answer was to that.
So the state of Oregon actually has been identified as what they call a childcare desert. We just don't have enough childcare providers to meet the needs of the families who want to go to work, but need care for their young children, especially those infants and toddlers. And then Douglas County within Oregon is probably one of the lowest, you know, has the one of the biggest problems. Sorry, I said that a little backwards. But the pandemic really brought that to light for so many people. And so that's kind of where this Child Care Coalition was formed. And Heather and I got to partner to bring this group together. I had certain contacts. She has certain contacts and a wealth of information. So back in July of 2020, the Child Care Coalition was formed. It is a group of community members from kind of all sectors, so from business leaders to faith-based community to our early learning systems like Head Start or the Family Development Center. We have the YMCAs involved, the Boys and Girls Club. The Ford Family Foundation is a huge contributor. I'm missing some people.
Well, whoever you are, you're very grateful.
Yeah, we have been very grateful to all the folks who have joined the group and have continued to support the group in so many ways. So we spent the first several months or six plus months really just trying to support child care providers as they reopened and had a lot more requirements put on them. And so we try to, as a community, support them with providing supplies, like cleaning supplies and masks for the kids, masks for them, thermometers. We bought them germ fogger, things that help them clean the germs out of their things in like, a quarter of the time it might take them to wipe things down. And so we went out and raised a lot of money and asked for support from the community, and it was overwhelming. And I think Heather can speak to what the child care providers thought.
Their response on that was, I think it was just so important for them to be seen. And we have so many heroes in our community that really supported during COVID times and kept working and doing those hard jobs. And our child care providers were amongst that group. And so it was really great to see our community reach out to them and elevate their work and value them. And we often forget how important it is to be seen. And I really got that response from them. It was really important at that time that they be cared for in an extra special way. And we just, we have amazing providers in our community, and we love supporting them, getting them program materials, getting them books and some new things for their programs so that they can stay energized in the work, because there were some big asks for and changes that they needed to make. You know, they were all in keeping children healthy and safe.
Well, and I think that when we went through that, things were changing all the time, and that's really hard. So to have a resource such as yourself that could reach out and say, okay, here's the latest and the greatest, that we're being told now, and just having somebody, you know, like you said, to be seen is everything sometimes, and also just to be able to talk or vent to somebody in safe space is huge as well. And I imagine they were very grateful to have you guys during that time.
Yes, recently we did actually give them just appreciation gifts, self-care gifts for mm-hmm. them and their staff, and they were just so appreciative. We wanted to recognize them as first responders, too, and that they were there every day so people could go back to work and could mm-hmm. support their families and could be at the hospital mm-hmm. And that type of thing. And so they were just so appreciative. And coalition members who helped do the distributions were just in awe of these people coming and the work that they do. It's, I think, been very eye-opening for a lot of our members on the coalition to realize how much they have to do this job and mm-hmm. how much heart they have to do it, and that it isn't just babysitting. This is about teaching these kids from birth and helping them get ready for kindergarten, helping them not only have the academic side of math and reading, but the social emotional side, so they're ready
absolutely.
To enter kindergarten. And we know that leads to much higher success rates through school. And so how we focus on these little ones in our community sets them up for success as adults.
Right. And we just want to see that continuity of care, too. We know that a lot of people are making really hard decisions about whether they could stay in this work or whether they wanted to start this work. And we wanted them to be able to know how valued and important they were to keep staying in it, providing that continuity of care for children.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I mean, I'm a grandma, so I don't have my children at home anymore. But, you know, to the stressors of working through the pandemic or even without the pandemic, work is stressful sometimes. And so you just, you know, you go and you take your child to daycare and you drop them off. And it's like, I kind of want people to think about that. Think about how great it is, because I had this with my grandkids. I told my kids, it's like, I have a friend. She would die for my grandchildren. That's just the level I knew this person was of a daycare provider. And it's like to have my grandson dropped off at a daycare and to never have to worry one iota. And again, I'm grandma, so I'm not mom and dad dropping them off every day, but I knew my grandchild was taken care of, and I absolutely love her for the rest of my life. I just love her. Corey, I love you. And so, but you know, it was being a grandma and having that experience and having a daycare provider that would be like, here's your grandson, you know, or send a picture or something of him just being happy and joyful or whatever. It's like, that's above and beyond. That's not the expectation. That's somebody excelling at what they do. And so, man, I just from firsthand on that am so, so grateful the amount of stress it took off my children to know that they had a wonderful daycare provider and that child is well looked after, well taken care of, well loved. You know, all the hugs are still coming and everything. So, yeah, I just can't. I can't say more.
Yeah, and I think beyond that, I think people don't realize that a strong childcare infrastructure in a community mm-hmm. helps the economy of that community, because it not only helps employers have people they can hire because those people can bring their children to work. It increases the amount of people that can be in the workforce for you. And it does give those parents a sense of, I can go and focus on my job. So we know when they have quality childcare, mm-hmm. their productivity is higher, all those things. And then we know if these kids are getting this good quality education early, it sets them up to be productive community members later.
Yeah.
And so exactly. Though we initially really focused on helping providers stay open and thrive within, surviving through this pandemic and all the requirements, we also began to think about the long term, right? We have this childcare desert. This wasn't mm-hmm. A new problem for our county. And so the coalition has established a bunch of action plans trying to open around 150 slots over the next several years. But that means hiring around 40 individuals to care for those children. And in that 40, it would include kind of day-to-day, but also a substitute pool as well.
Well, I'm going to ask you more about that when we come back. So let's take a brief break, and we'll return with your cue on News Radio 93.9 and 1240 KQEN. Back in a moment.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back. This is Shannon Sebastian here, and you're listening to Your Q today. So let's start where we left off here. So Heather, we're going to have you jump in and tell us about some of the incentives and things.
So Julie was just talking a little bit about one of the initiatives about creating more spaces for children, more slots. So we know that we need that in our community. So one thing that we have recognized through the work at the CCRNR and talking to a lot of our providers and in our coalition is that we have a workforce shortage. And so we have several sites that have space. They could open up an extra room, but they don't have a staff member to fill it, a qualifying staff member. And so we really looked at that process. What would it take to really invite people into that process? And so we've developed some incentives and bonuses for folks who might be interested in this work to start out just with those initial trainings and that are required for licensing or becoming listed with the Oregon Department of Human Services. What are those classes that they need to take? And then we are paying them by the hour to take those classes. And so that's just one of the incentives that we have in place. In addition to that, we have another bonus that will come when somebody completes the process to become licensed with the state of Oregon as a child care provider or opens up a family child care. And then we have a bonus for them if they just choose to become a staff member at one of our many child care centers that we have here or one of our family child care that have expanded and need staff as well. So once we verify those things, they can get a bonus as well just for being hired. And then another one at 6 months and another one at a year staying in the field. We call it get paid to be trained, get paid to be hired, and get paid to stick with it.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. Not that exact verbiage. I love that. That's very catchy. But I was thinking, well, you're just keeping the carrot right out there. It's like, keep going. I think that once somebody's in it for, 6 months, they'd probably have a pretty good idea if this was, a road that they're, invested in or...
Well,
or if this is harder than they thought, which is sometimes what we hear.
And I think what our intent was, we know a lot of industries have incentive bonuses, hiring bonuses,
right,
and retention bonuses. And so we wanted to say this is a important profession. It's a career people take on, and we wanted to give it that same level footing. And so we were able to get a grant that helped fund that. And so we are out really marketing the opportunity to get these, do this work and get those incentives.
What we're really hoping to do is attract some people that really have a passion for early learning, or maybe they're in a position where they're a stay-at-home parent at this time and maybe have a little themselves and wouldn't mind caring for a few others. So we do have a contact number. We use 541-672-CARE. And if folks dial that, they will get a hold of the Care Connections office and we'll get them connected to these incentives and bonuses through the process. We'll track that and work to get them those additional funds that we've been able to supply. So it's a great opportunity. And I think there's a lot of people who love working with early learning, young children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think historically this is a field that is really has just been undersold. We see on a regular basis, we're seeing amazing job opportunities at a state level and the incredible work that Oregon is doing to promote this field and create these living wage jobs where folks are going to need to be able to get that college experience, get that experience working at these sites. So there are places that we're seeing move that up. Seeing more living wages in this field, and it's really exciting. But I think it's just been a long time coming, so we're kind of feeling that shortage here in our time where we really need to see the growth. So we just really have a passion to invite people that have thought about this work, and we just want to encourage you to engage in it, engage in the idea, and come and give us a call at 541-672-CARE so we can tell you a little bit more about it and start you on this process.
Well, it really looks like you're setting people up for success. you're thinking about the training and the certification and helping them through the processes, I'm assuming, with the applications with the state and all that. And so it's like, this is really what I'm gaining from it. So I want you guys to yes or no me, because I kind of seem to sometimes ask the questions that somebody that doesn't know would ask, since I don't know.
I think it goes a little bit. Yeah, it goes a little bit to what Care Connections has done all along. So we provided these services, but again, really just having these amazing incentives and bonuses out there and available. So we've always had that trickle of folks coming in, but we know in Oregon that's not going to be enough. We need people to really consider following that passion or that idea of maybe working in this field. And we hope that this is enough to kind of push you in the right direction.
I was just curious if you guys go into schools at all and talk with students who are making future decisions and, you know, about what they see for their life. Because I know that some students work at the, you know, early child health care center in, you know, Roseburg High School and things like that. So is that something that you do you start talking to anybody about thinking about this or?
So we have had a lot of conversations about it, and I think the folks at UCC are really kind of exploring that and apprenticeship opportunities and that type of thing. And we've talked about as a coalition in our long list of things we want to do, that's definitely on there, of how do we get to do that in some of the other high schools in Douglas County, because I think right now it's only in at Roseburg High.
Right.
And so how do we... You know,
oh, like start a program at one of those is what you're meaning.
Right,
oh,
like
that
at
would be
the
amazing.
Other high schools, because not only would it make child care available,
right,
but it would also be introducing people into this field. So it's definitely on our list to do, but we are focused right now on how can we get people that can do it today.
Today, right now. And I know that you can only have so many children of a certain age per person. And so earlier you were mentioning you had facilities that could actually have more children if they had more people that are, you know, certified to do such. So
correct. So there's different requirements for some of those age groups and some education pieces, but certainly the ratios, the size, how many children you can have per eligible adult. And so those are the kinds of things. It's one of our goals really was to create more of a pool of higher ready people that could do the initial trainings and processes so that they could go right into a child care center and be ready to be hired because they've taken care of some of these training requirements and things like that. And really kind of bringing some relief to the child care programs because they don't have to provide that. They don't have to pay for that to happen because we're paying them per hour to take care of that. So really, we're just trying to create some more relief for our programs, but also create this pool of subs and higher ready people that can come and bring some relief to some of these programs that probably have waiting lists just miles long so that they can start those new classrooms up.
And one of the other things, too, that the coalition is doing is just helping providers, the centers, the family-based providers, really provide them business support, how they run this business, because in the end it becomes a business and we want to help them. So we're focused on that, and we have received funding from Douglas County. The commissioners approved some funding for us, so we're able to do a lot of this work, not only from grants we're applying for, but the county support, because they recognize, the county commissioners recognize how important this is to the success of the economy of this of our county. So we have a large ask as well out to the community for whatever support, and we have big ask and small ask, financial ask and non-financial ask, and so we're out kind of sharing that message regularly, and we can share that information and get it out to anyone who might be interested in being part of the coalition and being part of this solution, as well as, hey, I can't come to a meeting, but I can help here, you know, with this or that. And so we're doing a lot of, I think, unique things to really solve this problem, or a portion of this problem for now.
Right. With you're just like, we just need it done today.
Right. We'll continue to work on it. So,
well, you know, everywhere you go, there's a sign that says hiring now. And like you said, hiring with a bonus and hiring, you know, I mean, there are so many people out there looking for employees, and one of the factors is but who's going to watch my kids? So it's like, when you guys are helping solve that problem and taking one less hurdle away, the trickle effect is all positive. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think everybody needs to give you a big thank you for your efforts that you're doing, and honestly wish you the most success with all of this, because it truthfully means just again the trickle effect all in many different aspects is there. You know, that the employers will now have more employees, more people applying potentially, you know, the children are going to be doing better and thriving, you know, and socialization and schooling, and like you said, it's just like, so it's just such a blessing all around, and I appreciate the work you both do.
Yeah, we have a catchphrase of child care providers support the workforce of today, and they prepare for the workforce of tomorrow, because they're educating these young ones, and so they have an important role.
Absolutely. And you know, it's like somebody had said the other day, I heard something and kind of applied to this, was it's like, would you put $1,000 and put it in the mail, you know, cash or something? And it's like, think about that. It's like, you're leaving your precious child with somebody, and so to know that they are given the tools to be successful and do a great job and to the standards, and that there should be a standard for all, is super important. And I think that, you know, that would help parents also decide to maybe be willing to do that if they knew a provider was somebody that was working with your organization, would actually be a very good reference or a resume builder for them. So,
yeah, Shannon, we just really want to get that word out about exactly what you said, the incredible value of investing in our earliest learners. And so that's really our big passion in this matter, because we know that we're, just as Julie said, we're supporting the workforce of today and tomorrow. And I am so proud of what the coalition has done and all of our members and how highly valued they are. And we'd love for some other folks to come and join us and get behind this effort, because we really think it could be just a game changer for Douglas County.
Okay, and I thank you ladies both for being on today, and I want to ask you to give that phone number out one more time, so if anybody's interested in any aspects of this, please reach out and give a phone call.
So they can call 541-672-CARE, whether they're interested in the program. And then we can pass that message to Julie as well if you want to become a coalition member. But we'd love to hear from you. Good time to be in early childhood education.
Yes, you're needed and you're wanted. So give them a call today. Thank you, ladies. We're going to take a break here and be back with your local business buzz sponsored by Umpqua Survival. Back in a moment.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back. All right, everybody, it's that time for the Local Business Buzz, and it's the first Thursday of the month, so I have Carlos with Umpqua Survival here. Welcome back, Carlos.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Good to have you. I'm not sure what this weather's doing, but we could go out to Umpqua Survival and be prepared for anything, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us what's new and exciting in Umpqua Survival, and what gun you have now, because we are in a new month.
Yeah, new month. Congratulations, Gary McDaniel, for winning last month's raffle. He's been playing since we very first started the raffle. It's the first time he's ever won, so he is pretty stoked about that.
That's well-deserved.
This month we're giving away a Kimber 1911 Shadow Ghost. Oh. 45 ACP.
Sounds cool.
And all the profits are going to the Fallen Outdoors Team Oregon. They take veterans,
yes,
and do outdoor adventures with them. You know, take them hunting, take them fishing. And I believe when I talked to their person, they're trying to put together a big fishing trip for a bunch of Douglas County veterans. So that's what all the profits are going to be going to this month.
I love that. And I just actually reached out and or communicated with them, I should say. So I'm excited. I'm going to try to get them on here because I love what they're doing. It's fabulous. And of course, we love anything with the outdoors, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And veterans. So that's a win-win.
Yeah.
We're going to get them out there, get them some bent poles, as my son always says. Let's go out fishing and get a bent pole. Get some fishing going. So I'm putting you on the spot here because I didn't prepare any questions with you or anything, but classes, you're adding classes all the time, and seems like that's going really well for you guys.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the big things that we push is, you know, training. And, yeah, it's great that there's a lot of new firearm owners, first-time owners. But the cool part is these newer firearms folks seem to be way more interested in continual training. They want to learn more. They want to feel more comfortable about it. So we're doing the best we can. We're partnering with we've partnered with South Umpqua Rod and Gun Club so we can do some actual hands-on training. And actually this weekend we have our first hands-on firearm training down there. Class is pretty full, but it's really taken off, so we'll definitely be doing that in the future. And then we've got lots of other classes going on all the time.
Right. Well, and it's just because you took the class doesn't mean you're comfortable. I'm the poster child for that, as Alan would say if he was here. But he's such a good encourager to, like, the best thing to get more comfortable with it is get time behind it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's basically what you're doing is getting people out there in a comfortable setting with knowledgeable staff in case they have questions or concerns and being able to help them through it. So I could see that that is going to be a very popular class. Yeah. Very popular.
The other thing I've heard from lots of our customers is, you know, they want to get further training, but they don't like to learn from their husband, wife, boyfriend.
Oh, 100%.
You know, they'd rather learn from a third party for whatever reason. I'm sure people have shorter fuses with the person they're with every day. So,
yeah, my husband's really patient, and I'm patient with him, but there is something about it that it's like, I'm not sure you're the expert on that, and I kind of want to hear from the one that is. Maybe, I don't know, but I was definitely that way, and I don't know why, because my husband's amazing, but I was still that way. So,
well, whatever works. It gets people out there and gets them learning and makes them safe and comfortable, and that's what we want.
Yeah, I think sometimes our family members want us to feel so comfortable that it's almost like there's that pressure to feel it, and it's like, well, it'll come at its own time, just let me get there. But anyway, it's nice to have an instructor that makes you feel comfortable and safe, and that no question is dumb.
Yeah,
you know, questions are good. That's how we learn, that's how we have growth. Okay, so one of the things I'm impromptu just talking about here was the Sportsman Show. How was that for you?
Oh, Sportsman Show was great. Got a lot of new people coming up to us and seeing us. We don't go out there trying to sell stuff, really. I mean, most of the things that I had on display at the Sportsman Show are, you know, things that are either owned by myself or the owners personally. So they're not even for sale.
Right, just
display.
But
we brought some fun stuff out just to kind of show some of the things that we can do. And, I'm basically there to answer questions. We sell raffle tickets for whatever gun we're giving away that month. And we end up doing really well because it's the Sportsman Show, obviously.
Right.
But really, I'm there just to answer questions and drive people into the store. And
you did it. You did it pretty much by yourself and Sarah. Like, you put in some hours.
Yeah, I'm pretty much there open to close when we do an event. Yeah.
That's dedication. That was dedication, I have to admit.
And I think we were one of the more popular booths, too. I mean, we had a ton of traffic. So.
Yeah, I mentioned that because we were right next to you with Oregon Hunters Association, which was funny. And I'm like, you know, our sticker game is extremely weak and Carlos is killing it down there. So, so we got to get a stronger sticker game next year is what I told them. We got to have something fun for the kids. And a lot of people were really interested in hunters education and getting their children involved in feeling safe and knowledgeable in the outdoors. And so I had come down to you and you're like, yes, we can handle those things. So I thought that was, I've been doing this for years and that's the first year that I've really had a lot of people ask, but it was a lot.
Maybe next year we'll have to partner up since we're right next to each other every time.
Yeah.
And do some kind of like little training in between, you know?
Something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I was just like, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm letting you down because I don't have something right here for you. But well, I learned a lot this year that, you know, people are taking more stock in that of being self-sufficient and teaching their kids to, you know, appreciate nature and get out there, but do it with the knowledge that they could be safe if something happened. So
yeah, absolutely.
I really value that. Kudos to those parents that asked us. And so also, you know, we've been talking since we've just started this, like we're in March now. So this is now kind of our start of our third month, but it's only been 2 months. And the response with the local buzz has been so amazing. So I just want to thank you on behalf of the people that have been on here, because they have seen phenomenal results, which is kind of really exciting, because I always say that I have six people that listen, and we might up that to almost a dozen or baker's dozen, because...
Or maybe they just talk to lots of people.
Could be. Maybe we just have six really chatty folks. But, you know, we have a raffle, and, you know, people, you're missing out if you're not going out there, because people are winning. Every week we're announcing somebody, and... you know, maybe the guys will start doing it live out there too, or something, you know, we'll juice it up maybe a bit. But Carlos and Umpqua Survivor are so generous with giving a gift certificate every week to the listeners and people that come out there and, you know, check out the store.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on out. Yeah. We'd love seeing new faces.
Go get your ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, we always got those out there, and we like to, you know, we answer lots of questions, and there's no dumb questions. So, I mean, come on out and see what we've got to offer.
Your staff is always so, I've complimented you on them before, but they're always so warm and welcoming, whether it be on the phone or when you walk in. It's kind of like you've just met a friend. Like, I don't know. They just put you at such ease, and I think that's really nice. I love that.
We definitely try for that. So
I don't know how you screen them if you're like, show me your nice I don't know, but they're all so nice. So it's like, and very helpful and kind. And I was out there one time, and the little boy was picking out his badges for his Boy Scouts thing. And it was just so cute to see that too, and the pride that he had. And so just a wide variety of people that I've seen when I've stopped by out there. But
yeah, well, we've got a little bit of something for everyone. So
yes,
it draws a lot of different crowds. So
and the Sasquatch, come get a selfie. Get a selfie. We should do a selfie contest with the Sasquatch. Oh, that's too fun. So, let's see. It's March. Any specials or anything that you guys are doing? Or what's March? I don't know if you guys have a, like if you change seasonally stuff out there.
No, we don't really do a whole lot of that. We, especially right now, we just kind of do our best to make sure that we keep the place full of everything you could need. I'm starting to ramp up on camping supplies and that kind of stuff, so people that are looking for that stuff, yeah, hopefully we've got it all in stock before the season starts. Firearms are coming back in, so we've got a really good selection of firearms. I've had several customers say that we have more selection than anyone else in town. I don't know if that's true or not. I've never gone through and counted, but
it's a nice compliment.
Yeah, we do our best to make sure that we have a very good selection of everything, and we do a lot more consignment firearms than a lot of other places. So you never know what you're going to see in there. I mean, we get a lot of, you know, collector firearms. We get a lot of old World War II things and stuff that has niche markets, but you know, they're cool to see.
Yeah. So don't just stop in there. And then a month later, like, stop in. Sign up every week.
Yeah, come on.
Because we empty that bucket, y'all. So every week you have a brand new chance
at
it.
We had the most entries ever this week. So.
Oh, so whoever got it's lucky, lucky, lucky. Well, we're going to say who that is when we come back from break. So let's take a break. This is your cue. Sponsored by Premier Insurance and your local buzz with Umpqua Survival. Back in a moment.
Thank you. This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back. And like I always say, every week, it wouldn't be normal if I wasn't still talking when the music came on. And Carlos, you're just so easy to just chat with. Okay, so it's March, but April 9th, the Oregon Hunters Association has their banquet, and you were so kind and generous to be one of the sponsors and are having a table. So you want to tell us about that a little bit, or your sponsorship, or thank you for doing it first and foremost?
Well, we try and be involved in all the, especially firearms related, you know, organizations. So Oregon Hunters Association is one that we've been looking forward to doing for a while, and it just hasn't worked out. And this year I was able to get it on the calendar, and some of the folks over there at Oregon Hunters Association reached out to us and said, hey, would you be interested in you know, sponsoring a table, which I guess what that means is they do like a big long table full of things from my store. And, you know, people, those are raffle prizes, or I'm not sure how the games work there, but those are all things that people can win. And it gets our name out there, because there's also going to be lots of Umpqua Survival swag all over the place. And it sounded like a perfect opportunity for me. So we jumped all over it, and I'm looking forward to being down there at that banquet. And
we're going to have fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Oh, it will be. So, if you would like to join Carlos and Shannon for a very good time, sounds kind of funny, at the Oregon Hunters Association banquet, we'll clarify that a little bit, reach out. Oregon Hunters Association, the Umpqua chapter, and you know what? I don't know if I had that number right here on me, but you can call my office at 541-672-9414, and I'll get you connected with Debbie Moore, who is handling the registrations. And I think it's going to sell out this year really quick, so people should probably get on that. And
I know we've been talking to folks about it, so
come get a lot of swag and win some Umpqua survival swag and goop. And oh gosh, you just had so much stuff. You were just overly generous and kind. Umpqua Survival was huge. It's definitely the right niche and the right group of people. And so I think it's a definite win-win situation for that. But that's pretty exciting. So we're excited that you're a new addition to that. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good time.
It always is. Everybody's there, you know, and we're finally getting to be out and about and socializing and, you know, doing events again, you know, somewhat like it was back in the old days. And I feel like this will definitely feel like that, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so I know I'm excited for it myself, just to get to do something with a sense of normalcy and have a good time in a large group, because that's what some people have avoided, is doing those events with large groups. And so I'm excited about that. And I also had to say just a couple housekeeping things today, that our receptionist, Brett, it is her birthday tomorrow. And so if anybody just wants to call her at work and tell her happy birthday, I don't know if she's going to stay long. I don't know. It's hard to work on your birthday. Just want to be doing so many other things. But anyway, happy birthday, Brett, at Premier Insurance. We absolutely love you. And she is that joyful little voice that answers the phone often. And we're very grateful to have her. And also next week on the show, wonder where I even have that, is Virgil Osborne. You know that crazy guy, just like I do, with Champagne Creek, is going to be in here because they have their big event coming up. So he's going to be in here. And then Leah from Workman's Bar and Grill is going to come in. They have their bar that is going to be featured on Local Business Buzz, so they can tell you about that. And also, they are hosting on March 12th a Ride for 22 event, kind of their kickoff campaign. And so they're doing a $10 cover charge out there on March 12th. But as you know, I challenged you last week, and I'm reminding you this week, go out there and give them $22. I just think that's the coolest thing. Just give them $22 cover charge instead of 10. I think it would be super meaningful to them. And, you know, it's really hard to put on events and go out in the community and raise money and things like that. And this is such an excellent cause. And everybody needs that little bit of an encouragement. So $12 more, but it would mean such a huge amount to them. Just the sentimental side of it and the symbolism for it. So go out to Workman's Bar March 12th, 7 to 11. Give them $22 and have a good time. I also will be there.
That sounds like
one. I kind of like putting my whereabouts out there. I better watch. I'm going here. I'm going there.
That's also the same day as the Champagne Creek Navigation Challenge.
Oh, yeah. See, so they should come out when they're done.
I'll be there.
So. Yeah. See, go to Champagne Creek. Carlos will be there. Come to Workman's Bar and I'll be there. That's so funny to say because I hardly ever drink, but that's really funny. Also happening this weekend, big shout out, is the Miss Douglas County Scholarship Program is going to be crowning their new title holders for the year. So that is going to be held at the Winston Community Center on Sunday, 11 a.m. They'll be doing their teen competition. And at 3 p.m., they will be doing their Miss competition. And so on Sunday, we will have some new title holders for the next year to be out and about in the community promoting their social impact initiatives and the program. So if you're out and about and want something to do Sunday afternoon, stop by the Winston Community Center and tickets will be on sale at the door. I'm not sure what they are. I know they're like $2 more at the door. Or you can go on their Facebook page and buy tickets. They have an Eventbrite sign up where you can get tickets at. So love to see everybody out there supporting these young ladies who are trying to get it up and going again since the pandemic and earn some scholarship dollars. So that's really exciting. But well, we are it. That's done, Carlos. And thank you for coming back. And we'll see you next month, the first Thursday. Oh, and who's our winner?
Looks like Scott Ziegelhofer. I probably butchered that, but
I think it sounds about right. Scott Ziegelhofer, congratulations. You won the Umpqua Survival Gift Certificate, and you can pick that up here at the News Review. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next Thursday for another edition of Your Cue. Be kind to one another. Till next week.